This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The prophet Jonah got to witness God's radical mercy over and over again during his brief ministry to Nineveh. So what does this prodigal prophet think when God's patient mercy spares the city from destruction? Today, Pastor Sam will continue a sermon from Jonah 4 answering this question. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
We noted, as we were discussing chapter 3 in our time together with Jonah, Jonah helped us to understand that at that time, Nineveh was one of the capital cities of Assyria. And the king of Nineveh was actually the king of the nation. And so what we have here is not just a city repenting, it's an entire nation that is being impacted by this word that reached the ear of the king. And when God saw what they did, he relented. Just like he would say later to Jeremiah, when I say something about a nation, if the nation changes its behavior, then I will relent. And that's exactly what we see here in chapter 3. Well, Jonah is obviously not happy about this. This is not what he anticipated. And so as he looks at what is going on, he removes himself from the city, and we find Jonah sitting on a hill outside the city. And there he sits, waiting out the 40 days. Now think about this. Jonah went into the city. He was supposed to preach for 3 days. He preaches for 1 day. That's all he's going to do. After 1 day, and after a brief message, the entire city repents. They pray. They do exactly what Abraham did in Genesis chapter 12, and in Genesis chapter 15, and in Genesis chapter 22. They believed in God, and it was counted to them for righteousness. So here are a group of people who did exactly what God was hoping they would do. They turned from their idols to worship and serve the living God. That's what Abraham did. That's what God wanted Israel to do. He wanted them to turn from their fascination with idols to worship God. This is what's going to happen later when the Apostle Paul shows up in the New Testament and comes to the city of Thessalonica. He opens his mouth. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they turn from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for the coming of his Son from heaven. This is a stunning thing. And Jonah is absolutely furious. And so there he sits, hoping against hope that all of this repentance that so pleases God will eventually evaporate like the heat of the day. That maybe this was just a ploy. Maybe they just got afraid. Maybe all of the things that were going on nationally and the things that had gone on cosmologically, the earthquake and the eclipse that had happened around that time. Maybe that's what really motivated them. And they repented, and this is just going to go away, and they're going to go right back to their old ways, and then God's going to have to do what I think he should have done anyway. God's going to have to judge them. And so Jonah is sitting on that hill, waiting for the 40 days to finish, hoping against hope that these people would get wrath instead of mercy. How in the world does a prophet of God get there? And Jonah says, well, I'm going to tell you how I got there. And the reason I want to tell you I got there is because it's the same way that you get there. You're going to get to that same hill if you don't allow God to do in your heart what he had to do in mine. God had to help me see not just what was going on in Nineveh, but what's going on in me. And so this morning, as Jonah talks us through these first 5 verses of chapter 4, what is it that led him to that hill? And more importantly, how do we avoid joining him there? And Jonah said, well, the first thing I want you to notice is that my heart was filled with something. as I observed the work of God and I saw the decisions God was making, my heart was filled with a burning anger. Look at verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah would say to us, I had very definite feelings. I had very definite ideas about what God should have done to those people in Nineveh. In fact, I had very definite ideas about God's mercy and who should get it and who shouldn't and when and how. And at the top of the list of people in my book as a prophet who understood the Torah of God and preached the Word of God, I spent my whole life in service to God, and at the very top of my list of people who did not merit mercy were these Assyrians. These people were actually worthy of God's fiercest wrath and most severe judgment. I mean, come on, this is a nation of world-class idolaters. I mean, everybody knows these people are known for their fierce cruelty. And my people, Israel, have tasted what that oppression looks like. These people have been coming in to the land of God's presence. Remember that land of presence that I was running away from? Well, these people have been coming into that land, and they had been oppressing God's people, and they had been taking tribute from God's people. And so if you want to know what these people deserve in Nineveh, they deserve wrath. And that's what I thought God was going to tell me when God first talked to me back in Jonah chapter 1, in the very first part of the book, when God came to me and said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, for their great wickedness has come up against me. I was like, great, it's about time. And then I started thinking. And I began to realize something. And then I began to suspect something. And then I began to understand that I was going to Nineveh for the opposite reason than what I wanted. And I was filled with wrath. And sure enough, when I got there and I saw what happened, I was displeased. Notice how he talks about this anger in verse 1. It displeased Jonah. The word displeased there is actually evil. It was a great evil. Jonah looked at what God did, and this is what he saw. This is how he evaluated it. When he looked at what God did, he evaluated it, and he said this, it is a great evil. The thing that God did is a great disaster. It is a great evil. When God looked at what he had done in Genesis 1 and 2, he tells us how he evaluated it. When he finished the first created day, the second created day, and so forth, he looked at what he had done, and he saw that it was what? Good. And when God looked at what he did at Nineveh, he saw that it was good. But when Jonah looked at what God did at Nineveh, Jonah said, it is a great evil. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever done something in his sovereign pleasure that seemed to you to be a great evil? Has God ever made a decision in his sovereign, wise plan that caused you to step back and say, I can't believe that God would do that. Surely you didn't mean to do that. I know you're omniscient, but this one slipped by you. I know that you're wise, but I'm just telling you, this is absolutely foolish. Have you ever had those kind of conversations with God about things? God allowed something into your life, God did something, or God extended mercy to somebody, and you shake your head and you're going, I can't believe this. And the more you think about it, and the more you look at it, and the more you turn it over in your mind, the greater the evil it is in your mind. And Jonah says, I want you to know, I'm ashamed to tell you this, but as I looked at what God did in Nineveh, this incredible act of mercy, the greatest revival in the Old Testament. There isn't a greater revival in your Bible than this one. Jonah said, I want you to know, as I looked at all of that, I made a decision about it. I evaluated it, and I saw that it was evil. And it wasn't just evil. It was a great evil. You know, the Bible says in Luke 15, the heavens rejoice and celebrate when one sinner is converted. Isn't that right? Two times in Luke 15, the heavens rejoice, the angels celebrate when a sinner who was lost is found. Here is an entire city of people that have repented and did what Abraham did. They have done what Abraham did. And all of heaven is rejoicing. All of Nineveh is celebrating, and there is a prophet sitting on a hill outside the city, and he's burning with anger. Jonah said, are you catching the true state of my heart? You know, as God's prophet, I'm supposed to think God's thoughts after him. I'm supposed to be the agent of his word, and I'm supposed to help facilitate his will. And when God's will is accomplished, I should celebrate. But here I am on the hill, and I'm burning with anger. This is a great evil, and it has produced a great anger. And Jonah would say to us this morning, be careful when you find yourself on that hill. And you look at something that God did that you wish he hadn't done, and you decide that God's action is a great evil to you, and it burns, the anger begins to burn in your heart. And so Jonah says, this is where it started for me. I looked at what God did, and I evaluated it, and I decided that it was a great evil. And then Jonah said, I didn't stop there. I actually opened up my mouth and I made a complaint to the Lord. And that was a biblical complaint. I'm not dumb. I'm a prophet. I know how to talk to God. I know how to couch theology in my talk to God. And so I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to talk to God straight, and I'm going to try to put him straight, and I'm going to use the things he told us as evidence that what he did was actually evil. You ever tried to do that with God? Like, God, you know, what you did here isn't right, and the reason it isn't right because you said this and this over here, and here are four verses that say this, and here's a whole chapter about it, and you seem to have done something without even considering any of that. And so Jonah has a biblical complaint that he brings up to the Lord in verse 2. Notice what he says. He prayed to the Lord. Now, this is the second prayer, right? You have a prayer in chapter 2. This is the second prayer in the book. In chapter 2, Jonah is thankful for mercy. In chapter 4, he is burning with anger over the mercy that God has shown. He prayed to the Lord, and he said, O Lord, uses God's covenant name again, Yahweh, which tells you what he's thinking. He's thinking about God having obligations to his covenant, obligations to his people, and he says, God, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? Didn't we talk about this? This is exactly what I told you were going to do, and you did it. And in order to forestall it, here's what I did. I made haste to flee to Tarshish. And the reason I did all of that, because I knew something about you. And he's going to give the second greatest creed in the book. He's going to give a second great creed. Remember the first creed in chapter 1, verse 9? Well, here in verse 2, you have the other creed. I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from danger. You know, Jonah used accurate theology here. This is at the core of Israel's understanding of God. This is what God told Moses about himself when Moses was at the top of the mountain, and he said, God, I just want to know you. I want to see you like you really are. I want to know your name. I want to know your character. And God says, well, let me tell you, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. But there's more. Verse 8. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head and worshiped. Jonah says, I have a biblical complaint. I knew that you were going to act on your mercy, because you told us that this was what you were like. And I have no problem with you doing that part, because that's what you should be doing to the people that you made that covenant with. But these people don't have a covenant with you. These people are not in that kind of a relationship with you. So I don't understand why you keep bringing judgment on the people that you made a promise to, and you gave mercy to a people that have no relationship with you. You made no covenant with these people. You have no relationship with you. They have no relationship back to you. They weren't looking for you. They weren't even thinking about you. And you sent me there to show them mercy. And you've been sending me to Israel to send warnings about your coming judgment. How does that work? This is at the heart of Jonah's complaint. It is a partial theology that leads to a deformed view of God. Is God a God of mercy? And the answer is what? Yes. Is he a God of judgment? And the answer to that is also what? Yes. And so here is Jonah, and he cannot figure out how in the world God's mercy and God's judgment got so messed up. The people who should be getting mercy are about to get judgment, and the people who should be getting judgment just got mercy. And Jonah says, I just want to remind you, God, that you have some obligations. And what you have done here does not at all seem to line up with your obligations. And I know, because I'm your prophet, this part of who you are, the fact that you're merciful and the fact that you are just and righteous, are the core of my ministry as your prophet. In fact, the only reason I can preach to your people is because of those two things, your mercy and your justice. And I am having a real hard time understanding how you can be just when you've been merciful over here. This makes no sense to me. Let me ask you a question, or Jonah. Let's let Jonah ask the question. Has God ever done something to you that turns your theology upside down? Lord, I cannot figure this out. I mean, here I am, and I have served you, and I am part of your people. I belong to your church. I have been living for you, and you did this, and it had this impact to me. And here are people over here who don't know you, who don't have a relationship with you, and you've done this for them. Jonah says, you want to know where my burning anger came from? It was rooted in my understanding of theology. Jonah is not operating without theology. It is his theology that has landed him there on the side of that hill. And sometimes the things that you believe about God, and sometimes the convictions that you have about how God should be and what God should do, puts you on the same hill. Which brings us to the third thing that you see here. And Jonah says, now, you won't believe what I did next. I was sitting on that hill, burning in anger. I opened up my mouth and I challenged God. I laid out my biblical complaint, and then I gave God an ultimatum. I issued a bold challenge. And the challenge is in verse 3. Therefore, now, O Yahweh, based on the theology I've just uttered to you, based on your covenant obligations to Israel that you seem to have violated, because you and I both know what these Ninevites are going to do in the next generation. You and I both know that they are going to come and they're going to destroy the covenant nation that you have a relationship with. And if you don't have a problem with that, I do. God, if you can't see how wrong that is, then I don't know what to say to you. And so the only thing I know to do is to try to force your hand to change your mind. You say, well, how in the world did Jonah do that? Well, notice what he says. Oh, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, this is the second time Jonah has looked at God and he has said to God, I would rather die than do your will. Here he's saying, I would rather die than participate in something that is so morally and ethically and spiritually and theologically offensive, that you would show mercy to the very nation that is going to come and destroy the people you have made covenant promises to. I can't reconcile that. And so Jonah takes a play right out of the playbook that Moses wrote many centuries earlier. And there are some radical differences, obviously, but the play is the same. Remember when God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to destroy these people for their idolatry. They are down there worshiping around that golden calf. Their evil has come up before me. Stand aside. I am going to destroy them. And Moses intercedes for them for 40 days. And he begs God to spare them. And then he comes to the end of all of that, and he says to God, now, God, if you choose not to spare them, don't spare me. If you choose to obliterate your people, which is your right to do as God, if you choose to do that, then I want you to blot my name out. Jonah's taking that same look. He's saying, God, if you are going to have mercy on these people who are going to destroy your people, then I want you to destroy me. And in Jonah's mind, surely God would do for this prophet what he did for that prophet. Because when Moses the prophet stood before God and said those very same words, God relented and spared the nation. And here is Jonah looking at God saying, God, I want you to spare Israel by judging this nation. And so I want you to bring judgment. I want you to change your mind. And if you don't change your mind, then I want you to blot me out. And he had no idea how offensive all of this was to God. Now, you know, at this point in the story, Jonah would stop the action and he would say, now think about what you've been reading. Think about what I've been telling you. This is the second time I've had the audacity to challenge God. This is the second time I've stood before God and I've said to him, either do it my way or take my life. Jonah would say to us, do you see the spiritual arrogance of that? Do you see the self-righteousness of that? Do you see how far my heart was from God's? I stood on that deck and refused to repent. Here I am sitting on the hill, and I'm struggling to repent because I think I know better than God. I am wiser than God.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll conclude this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church. Also by Ryan Ahrens and C.J. Billiou. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.